But did intelligence, or in some instances the lack of it, also play a role in Hooker's much-criticized decision to pull back? Sharp spies like Silver were not suited for reporting on fast-moving tactics as a battle got underway. Southern troops, in fact, had surrounded Silver's immediate neighborhood, rendering him immobile for the moment. Lowe's balloons and the Signal Corps' observation stations had missed Confederate movements from Fredericksburg the night of April 30th and were little help early the next morning because of the fog off the Rappahannock. As a battle unfolded, cavalrymen were a commander's best eyes and ears, but Stoneman took most of that force south. Hooker had only 1,300 mounted men with him, not enough for reconnoitering the enemy approaching from Fredericksburg. The intelligence that did come to Hooker on May 1st from Sharp, Butterfield, and Lowe's balloons gave him reason to believe that the enemy directly in front of him was more formidable than he had previously realized. Lowe's balloons ascended after early morning fog cleared and, along with Signal Corps observers from their posts, reported a heavy force of Confederate infantry and artillery moving west from Fredericksburg toward Chancellorsville and Hooker's army. It numbered as many as 15,000 men, Butterfield telegraphed Hooker. How many more had moved when fog obscured the view, the chief of staff couldn't tell. But Hooker could do the math. The dense columns of rebel troops Lowe's aeronauts saw marching toward him had to be Jackson's corps, which Babcock's April 28th report had told him numbered 35,100 soldiers. Combine them with Anderson's and McLaws' divisions already in front of him, which Babcock said numbered 14,700, and Hooker now faced 49,800 rebels if Jackson's entire corps was marching west, or slightly less if Jackson had left a blocking force south of Fredericksburg.